All right, real quick, rapid reaction. I'm just talking into my phone. Because if not, I mean, we got some more episodes lined up, but if we don't do this, I'm not explaining. This is a rapid reaction podcast. How about them Bucks? Losers, right? Losers. Top to bottom, I was thinking about Jerry Krause's quote about organizations, players don't win championships, organizations win championships. And a disrespectful statement in the context of the greatest player of all time, but generally a pretty good point, as I think a lot of The Last Dance showed that there was a point to a lot of the stuff Krause was saying, even if just so happened. You need people's skills to excel in most things, certainly basketball. But the Bucks are a garbage organization from the top down. Garbage effort, gimmick offenses, gimmick defenses. This is the second straight coach of gimmicks. And all that hard. I mean, look, we, as my dog's just gonna rattle around the room now. Big echo in this room again. Sorry, there's like a fan and a thermostat. You don't care about that. This is normally the kind of stuff I would edit out. But the Bucks are losers. And so all that grit and grind stuff, all the PJ Tucker stuff, which I think is really important in sports. Like, you just can't show up without effort. Like, sports is kind of a balanced thing. There was one of those we're talking about the Bulls a lot, I guess, tonight. One of those Bulls championships, and obviously this is Michael Jordan, Come Fly With Me, was like pure. It's not really a documentary, even more than The Last Dance. It's a, propaganda piece, but a lot of stuff is true. And they're playing game seven against the Knicks one of those years, maybe 92. And he's like, this is a talk to my father game. And I asked my father, should I lead or should I get my teammates going? And my father said, lead. If they follow, they do or they don't, but you lead. But what this always describes is what this describes for me is the kind of balancing act of sports. Do you press? Sometimes if you press, you can go too far. It's like, again, the light side of the force versus the dark side of the force. You can press and it can be your downfall, but if you don't press, you can be passive, and the Bucks just tend toward passivity, if that's a word, other than Giannis, who just goes all out. Giannis has to get a rebound. Giannis just has to get some of these rebounds. It's unacceptable, but it's just kind of this whole thing of like running gimmicks, right? It's okay that Trae Young, I guess by design, was going to get every shot he wanted and every floater that he wanted. And it was just like, no, it should be okay by the end of the game. This is not the regular season. It's not. But I don't understand. And I'm going to call out, I'll just subtweet some people verbally without naming. I can name some of them. I mean, these are people that I like. I thought all the podcasts were nonsense, including just all of them, all the ones I listened to about the Bucks. People swallow the narrative, hook, line, and sinker. This is a dumb team, guys. This is not a championship caliber team. It's bad for the league if the Bucks can somehow win a championship being this dumb at every level of the organization. So, do I want to make the final? I don't know. It's rough, kind of being a joke, right? And we'll probably beat the Hawks. We'll probably beat the Hawks in six. My prediction was Bucks in six. I think this will be a Bucks in six, but we gave games away. And so what happens and what continues to happen, and I don't need to even really mention that loser who wears number 22, although I'm probably going to mention that loser that wears number 22, but it's just a symptom of everything that happens. Like, and so we got a bunch of funny numbers. We got a bunch of funny numbers coming out of game seven, and I don't want to be too down. I don't think the last podcast was especially down after game seven, but people were like, oh yeah, no, people were shaving the statistics to try to make Chris look good. I think there's this one guy who I don't really respond to anymore. Somewhere was like, so you said Chris was garbage, and you said Chris was garbage in the Nets series. It's like, yeah, he was garbage. He shot 41%. He didn't show. Like, that's the thing. Everyone said it, right? People, like, go back and listen to any one of the great podcasts that we all listen to. Maybe we listen. Maybe you're a Blue Wire guy. Maybe you're a Locked On Bucks guy. A little bit disappointed. Not like Riley and Kyle. Riley went on a tremendous rant on that I listened to just today on the Brew Who podcast. Man, I was like, I almost messaged him. I was like, wow, you guys really bought this, huh? Like, oh, this proves that this guy can make a shot. And I'm like, oh, so you want to talk about the one go-ahead shot that Chris hit with 40 seconds left. But no one wanted to talk about the Brook Lopez at the end of play game. No one wanted to talk about how, like, we were more than willing to kind of give that overtime away and the Nets were just done. People wanted to give. Can we say again? Can we say again? Just really, people can disagree about Middleton till the end of time. Can we agree how ludicrous it is? I've probably said this before. That anyone thought, like, I think I saw some stat. Anyone thought that Chris was like, stop Kevin Durant? Like, that was going around again. Like, hey, but he, you know, on possessions where Chris was the primary defender, Durant was only 2 for 4. I was like, does that count the one that Brook Lopez blocked? Anyway, no one stops Kevin Durant. Absolutely no one stops Kevin Durant. If you happen to be guarding him when he was gassed in overtime or whatever, whatever, which is proven by the fact that Kevin Huerter and all these other guys are blowing right by him. By the way, if you want to extrapolate something from the Caucasian-ness of the people who have guarded Chris the first 3 rounds, you go right ahead and do that. Anyway, the gravitational pull of what he does in the playoffs is established. And I was just like, wow, like, I didn't really say a whole lot. It was really cool that the Bucks beat the Nets because the Nets represent something that's even more disrespectful to basketball. So it was really wonderful that the Bucks beat the Nets. But, like, I seriously couldn't believe that people were, like, adding me after Chris shot whatever he shot for the series and whatever he shot in Game 7. And people were like, yeah, I guess this closes this argument. It's like, does it? The 41% series is the one in which we're going to say that, oh, he's turned the corner? No, he hasn't turned a corner. And By the way, does everyone forget what happened in the World Championships? Bo, he's in Olympia now, so great. That's really great. I'm really just going to enjoy people never learning this lesson about when people do stuff and why certain stuff matters and why other stuff doesn't matter. But I guess, look, again, everybody just kind of got caught up in the moment and they were just talking. That's the other thing, too, about box score watching. It's like, I think the Bucks win. And the Bucks win, people are happy, and then they look down at the box score, and if they're like, man, Chris had 38 points, Giannis had 40 points, well, yeah, 40 points in the series, what a legendary series to this and that, it doesn't matter if the game was overtime or whatever else. And look, ultimately, like, winning is the thing, right? So I'm not really going to ever criticize people too much in a playoff win, but I'm just saying, you guys, this stuff is blinding you, right? Like, all this stuff is blinding you, like, Giannis shooting a three-pointer in the Nets series in the third or fourth quarter that banked in was just kind of an indicator of how that weird game was going. So, I also think I have some questions. Let me go to the questions. Because what I am not going to let you guys do, just being honest, although the criticism is valid, I'm not going to let you blame this game on Planet Pat. It's not like Planet. The only reason we won Game 7 is Pat kept it going until Drew and Chris finally hit a couple of shots. And by a couple of shots, I mean a couple of shots, because those guys were bad right until the end. Matt Wire at Matty Ice 32. How does Pat think that shot is a good idea there? It'd have been cool if he'd have made it, right? Peter Fensel, celebrity in the comments, at Finzalian. I don't know if anyone's ever checked out the Overthinking It podcast. It's the number one podcast that ever listened to through the years. It's these guys from Yale who kind of talk pop culture stuff. It's really, really smart. So Finzalian, we were supposed to get him on The Last Dance because he's a real big Knicks fan, and then we just never kind of lined up. I'd like to have him on the pod maybe in the summer, just talk about kind of big picture stuff. Why does anybody at the beginning of the regular season have any confidence at all in predicting who is going to make it to the conference finals? Because it usually works that way, because usually there's one or two really titanic players and teams. And so there's usually one super team and there's some other team in a weaker conference like LeBron in the East where you can just kind of predict these things. And for whatever reason, and I think it's a credit to him, LeBron just kind of never got injured. Although some of that is just kind of good fortune, but that's kind of the way it went. And so you could tip, and also the officiating, basically, that you can kind of predict what's going to happen. But yeah, that's a fair question. Nathan Clemente. But yeah, overthinkingit.com. Really, 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 really good part. Good, smart stuff. Nathan Clemente. Why? 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 It's a statement and a question, isn't it? Another, again, Evasor at ESPN versus Evasor. You have Giannis, Chris, and Drew. Why to go to the baseball player for the biggest play of the game? Why go to the guy who was 0-8 or 0-9 or whatever it was for three at the biggest play of the game is what I would kind of ask. But I don't know. I don't know, man. The Bucks are going to win game two. Shoot, I was going to go to Atlanta for game three. I don't want any part of this now. Like, I just think these guys think it's good enough, right? And I got, like, a lot of acclaim. Like, I had, like, a record listens for the kind of Chris episode, a couple episodes ago. And then some people were mocking it a little bit later. And it's just, here we are, right? So why? The questions continues to be why. If you don't, the problem with all these nerds is that they're constantly talking about what. And what is not important. What is important for what happened tonight? What happened tonight? The Bucks lost, but why? And when you talk about Middleton, the reason I wanted to highlight some of the stuff, why does stuff happen this way? Today, he just happened to be cold, but he's fundamentally streaky. And that's something that is probably like if the 538 guy wrote this article, I think people would probably listen to it because it's me. Like, people are just like, burn the heretic. It's just kind of what it is. And the gravitational pull of what he does has been buried. So again, let's go right back to the basic box score. 2014-2015 in the playoffs. 38%. 2016-2017, 39.7%. So we'll call that 40%. The Celtics series, 60%. The entire run, including the Raptors series, 41.8%. We'll call that 42%. 42%. Last year in the bubble. Oh, by the way. Last year in the bubble with the, remember what Chris did when we were down 0-3? Yes, I mean, I'm always like, yeah, I remember that game. You remember, is that the game where he didn't score in the fourth quarter and then passed the ball to Dante DiVincenzo with the season on the line? That game, the 10 for 26 or whatever that was with five turnovers game? Yeah, I remember that game. And that's what you're going to get from him. That's what we kind of kept saying. That's why per 36 was always a lie. All this kind of stuff was always a lie. If you give him a ton of usage, that's the thing too. Like in the Nets series, he's been shooting 25 times a game, which obviously I've been an advocate for, but I've always said if he shoots 25 times, he's going to be 10 for 25. And if we win, great. There's a way to make that work. But again, the thing with the Bucks is it's both big and small. It's organizational and player. It's just everything. They should have worked this out. I'm willing to give Drew, like people are like, we wasted the good Drew game. Like I think Drew will play well again. Drew is better than Chris all year. I just don't know. I don't know. Do people forget what they said all year? Because people certainly forgot what they said after game one and two and game three of the Nets series. People forgot what they said after game five. Like game five was an epic, epic, epic collapse. Chris Middleton didn't do anything to stop that. And no one else did, right? But then he gets a bunch of free throws in game six and people are like, oh, this was legendary. Why? Because they looked down at the box score and it said 38 points. People actually, man, I think Kyle said this. What were you guys doing comparing that nonsense without Kyrie and with half of James Harden to Ray Allen in game six against Philly? What were you guys doing? No, no, absolutely not. But again, if you watch a game and you're happy that the team won, then you look down at the box score and you come up with some nonsense, or you say, hey, 5 steals, 2 games in a row. I guess he's the only player to have 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 steals while shooting 48%. That's just not on a Tuesday in the last 10 years. And it's like, okay, this is nonsense. Let me look this up real quick. Game 5 against Brooklyn. The epic collapse. Chris Middleton, 8 for 22. 8 for 22. Although I'm sure it was called by Locked On Bucks. I'm sure it was 25 points, 22 shots. I'm sure that's what was said. Right? Because that's how this works. So, hey, we're not going to win the title. This year has been an odd kind of torture. It's like this tantalizing thing that you just kind of wanted to believe. But it's probably not going to work out. I did want to briefly touch on the nobody wants to kick it in Milwaukee subplot. I, for the most part, was pretty proud of the way everybody handled this. I think we said this a week ago when Kellerman said something stupid. This all comes from the Tony Kornheiser tree. This is the Tony Kornheiser coaching tree of diva-ness. For those who know Kornheiser from PTI or not at all, the diva thing was both his like actual persona by all accounts, but also kind of a shtick that would run through his radio show. So Kornheiser was this really influential guy in his time before PTI. I've listened to kind of versions of the early podcasts of that, like the Washington. So it'd be like Washington News, and you have him on like Sally Jenkins, and somebody would talk movies, and they'd do kind of a bunch of stuff, and David Aldridge and all these kind of people. It was a really kind of special show in the early days, and it was a weird, like, obviously nothing approaches Levitard show weirdness, but for the time, he was doing a bunch of interesting different stuff. Like, they talk horse racing if they wanted to. But it was quite clear, like, a lot of the show was a lifestyle show, and all these shows became lifestyle shows, right? And so they talk about what wine they drunk and what restaurants they went to, and the guy who came to his house and messed up his air conditioning or didn't. But it was just kind of slice of life stuff, and he was portraying himself as a bit of a part dandy and part kind of Woody Allen kind of nebbish kind of guy, but he's an original. And a lot of guys came from that PTI coaching tree. And Lebatard and Kellerman and his association with Around the Horn for a minute, and then his other show, but like Kellerman is part of that. He's one of those dudes, right? And so these are the kind of the people who consistently found different ways to kind of talk outside of the box. So then I listen to Kellerman a lot. Like, for Kellerman, again, whatever else you want to say about him, was just excellent doing boxing analysis and just like an encyclopedia mind for all of this stuff in the 90s especially. And I thought really good as a broadcaster doing that for many, many years. And this is just what he says. This was his deal. And I listened to him a lot actually when Favre went to the Jets and he was doing New York radio at the time. And then later in LA for the last years of Kobe and like the Kobe Dwight and the Ash years and all this kind of stuff. This is just his deal. Like, he's always, this has been one of his things that he always kind of said. And so I understand the place that this comes from and came from, but obviously it's one thing to kind of be in a LA market and make fun of the Kings because you're like cupping your hand to your ear and like playing to the audience. It's unacceptable from a national show. And I really think, again, this is not important things. Even in the course of the season, this isn't really an important conversation. In the course of like real world events, it doesn't mean anything. Between that and the dumb Jay Williams comments today, I just really wonder if there's going to be a shift against these guys. Because we talked about this before. No one's ever going to touch the inside of the NBA guys, and nor should they. But these other dummies, like advocating for LeBron James, talking about what hotels are going to stay in, like disrespecting their sport. If I had time to pull this clip, because again, I'm talking to my phone, but a couple of weeks ago, and really for a couple of months, I think Bomani on the Bomani individual podcast is like 90% of it is really, really, really good and interesting. Not just on sports. But to me, he's the one who got the ball rolling on the why don't people talk about Jokic the way they should be talking about Jokic? Why aren't people talking about how great he is? Why does the league do such a bad job of promoting their stars? And so I really think there may be a sea change with this kind of stuff. But I thought Bucks fans rightfully were outraged by this. It just, again, sucks that we're frauds. And so we should keep our mouth shut because we don't even deserve to be here. By the way, bad crowd. I just personally do not accept that the fans, I don't care whether they're priced out or not, it's ridiculous. Now, you can make a case that the Deer District is siphoning the real fans. I think I can drive there in 13 hours. I was thinking about trying to get back there for a couple of games, but I'm just too busy right now, moving and such. And it just seems to me that you can make a case that if you're going to keep all the real fans in the Deer District, because I was going to go to the Deer District, why pay for it? Why buy a ticket? I'm going to buy a ticket to go watch Chris Middleton like shoot 6 for $1 million? Nah, I'll just be in the Deer District. Seems smarter. But the crowd was sad. It's a sad crowd, and it just kind of, again, reinforces this idea that the season, like, we were making jokes in the overtime in Game 7, and at a certain point when, like, because the first 3 minutes of the overtime were just excruciatingly bad, and I think somebody made the joke, or maybe I did, that it was just like, I wish Durant didn't have his toe on the line. I just wish to be put out of the misery. Kind of how I'm feeling now. Because it kind of feels like we're defending a D'Antoni team right now. And just, I think we know how this ends. We're not as good as the Suns. The Suns execute. The Suns execute. I'm pretty sure the Clippers would beat us too, but I think it'd be a little bit closer. And who knows how healthy they are. But you just, Giannis isn't that good. Chris isn't that good. Drew isn't that good. Our coach is abysmal. Our owners are dumb. And I think, pretty sure we're wearing blue game 3. So yeah, have a good night.